Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Hey, Word of Life. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for demanding that I come back. I'm sure you called the office and sent emails and said, we must have, what was her name again? Jen Tringale. Yes, we must have her back. Well, it's really a joy and a delight to be with you. You all have been a bright spot coming up on my schedule, and I love this church. I appreciate your heart. What I love about Word of Life is that your heart is to see people reached by encountering Jesus. Amen. And there's just so many stories of lives that have been changed. And I love that and appreciate that so much about you all and about the heart and vision of this church. And of course, your pastors, Pastor Joel and Pepe, I don't have to tell you how good you all got it. I mean, they are just awesome. I just have enjoyed just getting to know them more and more here and there and just appreciate them. And, of course, Miss Hope is a good friend of mine and Ryan as well. I mean, you guys are just blessed here. You just got it going on at Word of Life, and so it's just really great to be here. I wanted to mention just a couple of things that I brought with me that are resources out there on the table, and really I mentioned them for the purpose of I want them to be a help to you in walking out the plan and the destiny for your life. I released this book last year with Harrison House Publishing. It's called Your Defining Moment, When Time and Destiny Meet. It's a real easy read, just 10 chapters, but I found out that it's one thing to know what you're called to do, but once you find out what that is, it's a totally other thing to know how am I supposed to do it. And there's a lot of components and things that are involved, and so I wrote this book to kind of hit on each of those components about what it takes to know how you're supposed to walk out the call of God. So that's available for you out there. And then we have two new, brand new things. You all are the first to get these. This is a brand new series that I just did. It's called Brand New Doors, How to Recognize and Navigate Through New Doors in Life. So make sure you grab that if that speaks to you. And then last but not least, it's probably my favorite thing. I use this. It's a 21-day devotional. And I wrote this to give you something to speak to your day before your day can speak to you. Amen. So every single one is just an encouraging word, a scripture, but then every single day gives you something to speak. For instance, this one says, I declare I receive all the provision that I need for the season I am currently in. And somebody said, amen. Spiritually, financially, relationally, my current season is positioning me for God's greater glory. I don't have to make it happen on my own. Today, I flow with my season. Amen. So that just gives you something to start your day out with. So I pray that those are a blessing to you. Well, I want us to just pray over the word and get right into what I believe my assignment is this morning. Before we do that, I just want to make this statement. I really believe that our God is never caught without a plan. Amen. I mean, isn't it securing to know that no matter what comes up in your day, that God the Father is never going to turn to Jesus the Son and say, did you see what just happened to them? What are we going to do now? He's never caught without a plan. He always has a way for your escape, your redemption, come on, your restoration, everything we need. And so if we believe that, then what we can know then is that God has a plan for this time that you and I are here together. Amen. That actually God blueprinted some things that he said, when I get them there at that specific time, I'm going to speak some things to them and get some things to them that they're going to need for the days ahead. Amen. And so as we pray over the word, I want us to just come into agreement with that and just say, God, I just am believing that I'm going to get everything you blueprinted for me for this service. Amen. Can we do that together? Well, Father, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to come and to receive from you. Lord, I think we would be remiss if we didn't just start out thanking you and saying how grateful we are for what your son did for us on the cross. And God, we're so thankful for the establishing of Word of Life Church. Lord, all the obedience and the faith and the sacrifice and the prayer that it took to establish this church and to bring us this far, God, we say thank you. Holy Spirit, we open ourselves up to you this morning, and we give you permission to come and invade the privacy of our hearts. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to rearrange the landscape of our lives, to move us into position for whatever it is you have for us for this time that we're in. We thank you for it. We believe you for it. And we receive it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, I want to start out this morning by just making this statement to you. And I think it will be an easy one for us all to come into agreement with. And that is that God's plan, the plan of God, is by nature progressive. Amen. That God is always moving us forward. We could say he's taking us somewhere. Amen? You ought to just turn to your neighbor and say, hey, he's taking you somewhere. Amen. And we can say that about God. He is progressive. His plan is progressive because he's always taking us into the more that he planned for us. And it's not a strange thing to know that about God because God himself is progressive. I mean, aren't you thankful that today we gather to worship a God that is alive, vibrant, living, dynamic, has always done the supernatural, is still doing the supernatural? I mean, we're not worshiping a memory. We're worshiping a living, breathing God. Amen. And so because God is progressive and the plan of God is progressive, then you and I have to understand that our lives in God are always going to be progressing. That we're never going to hit a stagnant place, because how could we with a living, breathing Christ living on the inside of us? And when we said yes to God and we said, God, I want your plan, I want your destiny for me, when we agreed to that, what we have to understand is that we entered into a place of really perpetual motion. Because as the Word of God declares, he said, listen, I'm always going to be taking you from faith to faith, from glory to glory. He's always moving us on. And it's good for us to remind ourselves of this. Because it's really easy, if you're anything like me, where, you know, maybe God had just kind of moved you into a new season, a new function, a new place, maybe increased you, and, you know, this was all kind of new and felt kind of awkward, and just about the time you feel like you figure out the season you're in. Just about the time you're like, okay, I get it now. I know how this works. You know, these numbers don't freak me out anymore. I can handle this. God, thank you for bringing me into this. And now we've got it running smooth. And just about that time, doesn't it seem like the alarm clock of heaven goes off on the destiny plan of God for your life? And just about the time we're ready to kick back and enjoy, it's like all of heaven gets green lights and says, it's time for you to move forward. And you're like, your flesh, you know, my flesh is like, can we just stay here for a minute? I just figured this out. I mean, I just really got this to where, you know, I understand how this works. And now you want me to move ahead? You want to change it all again? And the Spirit of God is saying, listen, you got to remember that when you made me Lord, that wasn't just in title only. This is a functioning position in your life. And I am changing you because I am moving you into position. I mean, I understand about me that nobody has seen the fullness yet of Jen Tringale. Nobody has seen the fullness yet of you. There is more to you than meets the eye. And God says, I planned you, I positioned you, and I created you to come into a fullness of who I made you to be, as Jeremiah says, before you were even in your mother's womb, and I am taking you into that fullness. You can't stop now. Amen? He's taken us from glory to glory. And so if God is progressing us and he's moving us into position, then we have to know that's for a purpose. Amen? I remember at the end of 2016, I was in Tucson, Arizona. I was in a hotel. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. And right on the dot at 4 a.m., I just woke right up out of a dead sleep. Well, I knew that had to be God because I don't wake up at 4 a.m., out of a dead sleep. I mean, I don't really want anything to do with 4 a.m. Do you understand? And the other reason I knew it had to be God is because when I woke up at 4 a.m. and I kind of came, you know, to myself, I was wide awake. I hadn't had one drop of coffee. I mean, that was a miracle. Do you realize this? Right there. And I thought, man, what is about to happen? And so in that next moment, the Lord spoke something to my heart, and it was so strong on the inside of me. It was so loud, and I heard the Spirit of God say, I am now moving the body of Christ into a time of the unprecedented. Then he said, I am moving the body of Christ in 2017 into a time where new precedents are being set. I thought, man, 2017 sounds like it's going to be amazing, you know? Wow, new precedents being set. I mean, new precedents, unprecedented. We're talking about things that have never been done before. We're talking about, you know, I'm thinking we're going to see God do things that saints have been praying for years. We're going to see our nation change, the nations change, culture change. Man, this sounds awesome. But as I started holding that up to the Lord and praying about that, the Holy Spirit began to show me, Jen, if you're going to move in to a time of new precedents being set, that means you are called then to break some new things open. And that it means you're going to have to be willing to change and move ahead. Word of Life, I want to say this to you this morning. I believe that there is a call, a mandate upon you to break open new things. I believe that God uses you like a spearhead to break up new things, because once new things are broken up, they become easily accessible by the masses. Amen? I know, that's super deep, right? Let me give you this example. You know, it wasn't but just maybe a few generations back when men and women of God that are called to preach the word, they began to break open sort of new revelation at that time. And the revelation they were called to break open was very simple. And the simple word that they were called to bring was this: God is a good God, and he has good things for you. Well, do you know that that was groundbreaking at that time? I mean, people actually fought them for preaching that. They faced all kinds of opposition of people telling them, well, you know, yeah, he might be good, but you know, I mean, he'll cut you down to size and he'll use terrible things to teach you a lesson. And the only problem was that wasn't anywhere in the word. And so they just stayed at it. Man, they just kept preaching. You know what? God loves you. He has good things for you. He is good and he wants to show his goodness to you. Well, they stayed with it, and by the end of that generation, it became easily accessible by the masses that God's not against me, God's for me. Well, I mean, now we just go, well, of course that's the truth, but you understand that that generation was called to break that open. You need to understand that we need to pay attention to whatever it is that God is speaking to us, because whatever God is revealing to you is what God is restoring to you. Let me say it to you this way. Whatever God is talking to you about is what God is wanting to move you into. He's wanting to manifest it in your life. So we need to pay attention to what God is showing us. Amen? If you've got your Bibles today, I want you to open up to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Or if you have your phone, you can open your app. Praise the Lord. To 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read here in verse 9 and 10. It says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Man, if we stop right there, Paul kind of leaves us in sort of a bleak predicament. I mean, he says God loves you, he's for you, he's got good things for you, but your eye hasn't seen it, your ear hasn't heard it. In other words, your flesh doesn't know anything about it. And if he would have stopped there, boy, he would have left us in a bad spot. But thank God he continued and he wrote verse 10. Verse 10 says, "But God," somebody say, "But God." "But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God." See, there's something we need to understand today, that we cannot allow our history to inform our vision. I cannot afford to allow my natural eye and my natural ear's limitations to inform my vision, because if I look to the Spirit of God on the inside of me, he's talking to me, giving me snapshots, giving me glimpses of things that my head doesn't know anything about. And they're usually going to be way bigger than my head can handle. Because my natural eyesight, what I think is possible for me, has limitations attached to it. And those limitations are based on what I feel like I can produce. And so the Spirit of God speaks to us in his word, and he says, "Listen, you are a called people. You are called to set new precedents. You are called to break things open. You are called to step into things that will be a constant progression, and your natural eye can't dictate to you, and your ear can't dictate to you. Your only compass will be the Spirit of God. For he will reveal," pull back the cover, "give you glimpses, give you snapshots where you see yourself doing things that you think, how will I get from here to there?" And if we let our own flesh, our own possibility dictate the path, we are going to take the long way around. You see, God's kind of funny in that when he says it's time to move, it's time to progress, he doesn't just go step one, step two, step three, step four. He says, "I need you to respond to me. I need you to get into motion. But once you do, baby, you're going to start level jumping. You're going to step out on step one. All of a sudden, you're at step four. All of a sudden, you're at step six. All of a sudden, you're at step 12. And the whole time, your flesh is freaking out going, "I don't know about this. This is a lot of change. I've never done this before." But you see, there's a part that we have to play in moving in the progression of God's plan for our life. And the part that we have to play is a generous reaction. See, a lot of times when people bring up generosity, they immediately think money. And there's no way that you can really, truly be a generous person without it eventually involving your money. Because to be a generous person is going to affect, at any given point, your time, your talent, and your treasure, your finances. But before you even get to the finances or the giving or the generous with your money part, there are some things that come before that. I can remember when I graduated from Bible school. And, you know, I grew up a typical church kid. I was raised in church. My parents weren't in the ministry. They weren't pastors. They were just sort of always the ones that were there. Anything they could do to kind of keep things moving, you know. And so I grew up that way. And I graduated high school a little bit early. Went out to Bible school. Went out to Rhema Bible College. And And I was getting ready to graduate, and man, I was so fired up. I was like, Jesus, all it's going to take to win the world is me and you. You don't have to worry about all these other jokers. I mean, I was so ignorant, it wasn't funny. And I was so thrilled. I was like, God, I can't wait to hear what you want me to do when I graduate next month. I was just waiting for him to assign me like a whole Aborigine tribe that had never heard the name Jesus. I was going to preach one massive crusade, win them all to God, and just sew it all up, you know. And so I'm just waiting on assignment. And I can remember just being in this service on campus, and the Spirit of God started stirring my heart, and he said, you've been asking me about what comes next. Boy, you know, even as I say that, seems in my heart, there are so many of us that are here today that in the background of life, we've been going, God, what comes next? Eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard, but I'm showing you what comes next by my Spirit. Amen. And so the Lord said, you've been asking what comes next. I thought, here's my moment. And he asked me that question, you know, that I posed to you. He said, Jen, I want to ask you, am I Lord of your life? I said, oh, Jesus, yes, you know you are. And he asked me, he said, is that in title only, or is that a functioning position in your life? Man, I didn't like the sound of that. But I knew what response I had to give. I said, Lord, it's a functioning position. He said, all right. He said, well, I appreciate that. He said, I'm going to show you what comes next. But he said, when I tell you, it's going to require something of you. It's going to require a generous response. I didn't like the sound of that either. He said, it's going to require a generous response of your trust in me and my plan for your life. Well, I knew what I had to answer to that, you know. I said, all right, God, I trust you. He said, all right. He said, when you graduate, I want you to pick up. I want you to move back home. And I want you to serve in your local church. He said, I want you to go to your pastor, and I want you to ask him anything you need done to keep things moving forward. I'm your girl. I thought, what have I done to deserve this? I mean, I'm your girl, Jesus. I will go to the whatever the uttermost is. When they say uttermost, I will go there. And you want me to go back home and serve those people that I don't even think they really like you? I said, I know that I showed up late to class a few days, and I parked in the blue spots, and you were only supposed to park in the yellow spots. But does the punishment really fit the crime? I mean, come on. But I knew what I had to do. See, so many times we're looking for the supernatural in the spectacular, but the supernatural is all encompassed in a simple, generous response of obedience. I knew that was the only choice in front of me. Well, you see, after I made that choice and I moved back there and started serving in my local church, you know, a few years later, I met some people, and we put together this missions foundation, and I started taking teams over to the island nation of Grenada. And for those of you that don't know, Grenada is a small, tiny island nation. It's in the southernmost part of the Caribbean, and most people know Grenada because in the 80s, the United States went in and helped liberate them, and it's just a tiny little nation with a really big destiny. And so I started taking teams there. I've been taking teams there for 17 years. Believe it or not, I've been in the full-time ministry for 20 years this year. And that's when you're supposed to look at each other with shock and say, she looks so young. How can that be possible? Thank you. Thank you. You're so kind. No shock in the room. Okay. Well, praise God. And so, you know, we did open-air crusades. When I come, the superintendent of the schools, they actually will pause classes, call a school assembly, and let me preach the gospel to those kids for 60 minutes. I'll tell you, we've gotten really good at having a move of God in 60 minutes. And so we've just done all kinds of stuff, and It was coming into the end of 2015, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Jen, he said, I'm ready to do something significant in that nation. And he said, but as a sign to them, I want to do something significant among the women first. You see, the women in that culture are very degraded. They're very much second-class citizens. They don't have a lot of opportunity. They're very much cast aside. And so what the Lord spoke to my heart is, he said, I want you to go, and I want you to hold a nationwide women's conference, because I want to restore what has been broken and honor what has been dishonored. Well, I was good except for that nationwide part, because all I saw was dollar signs. Nationwide, I said, Lord, you know, I think your plan is awesome, but this sounds like an assignment for like Joyce Meyer Ministries. This is Jen Tringale Ministries. Like, if you have any maybe like $5,000 to $10,000 assignments, that would be more comfortable for my progression. But I know what you're talking about is going to be way outside of that. He asked me that same question again. Jen, am I Lord as in title only, or is this a functioning position? Well, I had learned enough from that last time I had to follow his progression as he was trying to move me forward, that if he was telling me to do something, it was going to require a generous reaction of trust. I said, Lord, I trust you. Man, we went into motion. It was amazing. We bought all kinds of TV time, radio time, newspaper ads. We had all these churches involved. We secured the largest event center in the entire country, and we put on this nationwide women's conference. We honored them in every way we could think of. We had a 20-foot red carpet when they showed up, people cheering for them, taking their picture. They'd never seen anything like this. When they arrived, we gave them swag bags with all kinds of free stuff. They were flipped out. And it was just amazing. We packed out that event center, and women got saved, set free. I mean, it shifted things in that nation. The reports from the churches there are still coming in about how things shifted. I remember when we started moving toward the time for the conference, and we got about 30 days out, and all of a sudden our budget for that conference doubled. I thought, Jesus, take the wheel. What is going on? And you know, we had so many friends of the ministry and Word of Life. You were such a huge part of that. They grabbed hold of that vision with us and said, you know, we believe this is the plan of God. God's progressing things in Grenada. He's using you to do it, Jen. We want to partner with you. And I'll tell you what, you have tremendous seed in seeing a nation shifted in a matter of days, because there was a generous response. That's harvest to your account. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I was standing there on that last night in the very last service. That place was packed out. I mean, if you've ever heard reggae praise and worship, it just makes us look so bad here in the States. It looks like we all need to rededicate our lives. I mean, they know how to do it. And so I was standing there on the stage just looking at that, tears just pouring down my face. And I said, God, you know, I'm just a girl from Kentucky. How did this happen? And immediately, the Spirit of God took me back to that day he gave me that assignment for going back to my local church. He said, Jen, the day you gave me the generous response of your faith and your trust in me to go where it looked like nothing big was going to happen, he said, that was the day that you said yes and made the way, that I knew I could trust you and use you to walk out a nationwide conference. I said, Lord, you banked all of that on me making the right response back then. He said, Jen, on your worst day, I always see the best of you. I always see the fullness of that blueprint of you that I have when I made you before you were even in your mother's womb. You see, church, you can't afford to stay where you're at, because there's too much attached to who you are. There's too many others in this area, this region, and beyond that are banking on your generous response of yes and faith in God, whether it's trusting Him and saying yes with your time, your talent, your treasure, or more than likely all of the above, because you understand that you cannot stay stagnant with the living, breathing Christ living on the inside of you. That you are made for more, and at the end of your days, when you stand before your Maker, that His job is to get you, as Hebrews says, the author and the finisher of your faith, to get you into a place in this life where you are living out the fullness of who God made you to be. You know, sometimes I think about, in fact, I thought about this last night when I was here. I think about you all at Word of Life in this place. It was so thrilling to pull up and see the new construction of what God is moving you into as you're breaking into new ground. And I thought, wow, God, I wonder what the moment was like for Pastor Joel. When maybe, I don't know if it was in a service, you know, but maybe he was standing in here in this beautiful facility. All these services, people's lives being changed, preaching Jesus and thinking, wow, all that it took to get us to this place, but man, thank God we're here. Maybe just finally feeling like things were working, running smooth. But then the Spirit of God spoke to him. He said, it's good, but you can't stay here because there's more. There's more to be reached. There's more lives to change. There's more generational lines to shift. There's more things I want to do in this region, in this state, and you can't stay here. And once again, Pastor Joel had to give the Lord a generous response of faith. Church, I don't know what God has been stirring in your heart, giving you glimpses of, flashes of on the inside. But I know that if you'll stop and look and listen, God's revealing some things to you by His Spirit. And I'm here to tell you this morning that it's going to require some things of you. God's moved like this all throughout history, all throughout the Word of God. When God wanted to move the people of God forward, there was always something that He gave them that they had to do. I want to say this to you today. What is God revealing to you? And if I could encourage you in this and just say, don't you let your past history talk you out of it. Philippians says, forgetting the former things, I leave them behind, but I apprehend that which is set before me. Paul, a man of God, man, he knew this thing is always ahead of me. God's working in two places in your life today, your right now and your future. God's not doing anything in your past. You might as well let it go. Amen. Can I pray over you this morning? And as I do this, I want you to just come into agreement with this, but I believe as we do this, God's going to take care of some things on your behalf. He stirred that verse in my heart this morning in Isaiah, I believe it is. And he said, I will contend with those that contend with you. A lot of times when you're breaking into the new and making a transition, that's really when the enemy will try and kick things up to oppose you. I call them dust storms. He will kick up a bunch of circumstances around you to get your attention off of where God's taken you. And if you're not careful, you'll actually judge your progress by your circumstances and go, man, everything was quiet before, and then when we started moving into the more, everything got crazy. Can I just say to you this morning, don't let your circumstances dictate your progress. The enemy will try and stir up opposition, but as he declared in his word, you just keep your eyes on me. I'll contend with that is contending with you. You say what I give you to say, and you move forward. Amen? So I just declare this over you. Father, we just thank you that you are taking us from faith to faith and glory to glory. Father, I thank you that even in this place, Lord, you are picking up individuals, families, businesses. You're picking up this church, this community, and you're moving us into the more. Lord, I thank you that you are getting us ready and prepared for where you are taking us and where you are positioning us. And we send forth your word this morning that you are contending with everything that would try to contend with us. Father, we silence the voice of the enemy today. And I declare over Word of Life Church and all those within the sound of my voice that although hell may know your name, heaven has your back. And there are more that be for you than there are those that are against you. And your greatest days are right now here and moving ahead. I declare that we are anointed for progress, anointed to break things open, that they are easily accessible for those that will find themselves in you, Jesus, and be forever changed. Thank you, God, for using us as your mouthpiece in the earth to declare your goodness and your salvation to a lost world. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
We want to thank you for listening to us today. I pray that you enjoyed the message, and I just know that as we talk, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart. Hopefully, we'll see you soon sometime. Join us this weekend if you can. Until then, we'll see you next time.